Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's head to the phone lines right now and be joined by our next guest. He is one of the best pitchers in the history of the Kansas City Royals. He is in the Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame. He is now a color commentator for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Mark Gubazaw joined us on the show today. Mark, always appreciate having you on the show. So we talked a lot about Witt Jr. on the show over the last couple of weeks, and you were somebody who was called up to the big leagues really young in your career. You got here at 19, 20 years old. What is it like to be called up at such a young age?
A dream come true. Growing up in the Philly area and playing baseball 3-4 months a year, maybe, and then all of a sudden you look up, you know, and you're in the major leagues at 21. I was, you know, it was an absolute dream come true. I was at the World Series Game 6 when the Royals were playing the Phillies as a fan. And then 3 years later, here I am with the Royals with a chance to, you know, go to the postseason our very first year back in 1984.
What was it like to be at that young of an age and also pitching in a World Series? Because you talk about being as a fan, so you get to see it up close and see that the intensity in those games are obviously very different than regular season games. And then fast forward 5 years later, you're actually participating in the World Series.
Yeah, that's the thing. You scratch your head because, like I said, I was a huge baseball fan all my life. I was played baseball starting at 8 years old and going through the high school level and then getting drafted by the Royals in the excitement level of that too. And you know, in just a short period of time after getting drafted out of high school, you're in the playoffs and in the World Series. It was, you know, I knew of the organization for a lot of years. I just researched it. You know, they had a lot of similarities to the Phillies. They were both getting into playoffs pretty much every year there in the mid and late 70s. But still not quite getting there to the World Series, and they finally met each other in 80, and then, you know, then being part of the Royals in 84, and then in 85 when we went to the World Series and won it. It was just a great bunch of guys. I was lucky enough, you know, Sabes and I and Danny Jackson to have so many great mentors coming in there from Paul Splittorff, Larry Gora, Dennis Leonard, Dan Quisenberry, and then eventually Bud Black was our mentor. Even though he hadn't had a long period of time in the major leagues, he was still a guy that we respected, Charlie Lee Brown. So we had a young staff, but we also learned a lot from the guys in front of us that really helped mentor us, and eventually we were able to do that to the younger pitchers come along as well.
Were you guys going out on the town? Like, where did you guys go out? What part of the town did you live in?
We live right in the Country Club Plaza. Me and Sayers were roommates our first year, and then that winter he got married, but I stayed down there in the Plaza area myself for my first couple of years. I just loved it. I mean, I still, every time I go back to Kansas City, you know, we stay there as a member of the Angels broadcasting team. We stay right down in the plaza. And it's funny because I tell all the guys on the team and even my partners on the, you know, in the broadcast booth that I live literally right across the street from the hotel we stay at there in Kansas City. And they're like, no way. I said, how was it? It was a blast. I mean, be able to walk to restaurants, you know, if I was going to have a cold one after a game, I could walk everywhere. And That's the beauty of being down there in the Country Club Plaza. It was so much fun. It was a lot of excitement, a lot of life down there. So I love my time, especially staying there.
Were you single at the time? Because, I mean, good-looking dude for a team that's on the World Series, like 20-something years old. It must have been a pretty good time of your life.
Yeah, I was single my first couple of years, and I got married in 86. So my first two, you know, I was. But, you know, and then me and my wife moved out to the Overland Park area. We had a couple of apartments there off of Warnell Road, really, in Kansas City area as well. And then we worked our way out towards Overland Park, and that was cool. We were able to play some golf and all that stuff at Deer Creek we lived for quite a while. But at that point early on, it was, like I said, to be able to walk to places was great. And, you know, I had such a good time at that point.
Right now we're talking to Mark Gubazaw, Kansas City Royal from 1984 to 1996. He's in the Royals Hall of Fame. Last year was obviously a very different season. It was a shortened season, also no fans. What's it like? How excited are you to finally have fans back at the park?
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, for the players themselves, even my conversations with, you know, from Mike Trout to Albert Pujols and all those guys, it was a difficult thing because you get motivated from your home fans, and then when you're on the road, you get motivated from the fans giving you all kinds of grief as well. So it wasn't the same for them, and it's not the same even as on the broadcast side, because I love interacting with the fans, going, walking through the stadium, going up to my booth, and also be able to look out there and just see the excitement level for the fans, you know, whether it's, you know, two strikes on a batter or, you know, a guy gets a big hit with, you know, somebody on base or a walk-off home run or whatever it's going to be, the excitement level you gain and get from having the fans there is huge. And to have them back, even if it's going to be a limited capacity early on, it'll be loud. And I know for myself personally, I'm going to be really excited to see them back in there because, like I said, I'm a fan of sports. I'm a fan of baseball. And for them to be back in the stadium, it's going to be great for them as well.
Gooby, you've had a front row seat, if you will, for the career of Mike Trout, at least to this point. At his prime, which you could argue is right now, and at Albert Pujols' prime, who's the better ball player?
Well, you know, that's a great question because, you know, I delve into, you know, the Trouty's first 10 years and Albert's first 10 years. I mean, Albert Pujols, you can make an argument, one of the all-time greats right now. I mean, in the history of the game, his numbers stack up with anybody. To make a choice between the two, especially the first 10 years, you know, I didn't see Albert all the time. I'm just looking at numbers, but I'm seeing Trout do things every day. And Albert won a couple Gold Gloves at first base, so he was an excellent fielder as well. You know, first base position's a little different than obviously center field position. And Albert doesn't, you know, run the bases as well as Trout, but although Albert, you can make an argument, is one of the best base runners in his day. I mean, he wasn't going to steal 40, 50 bags, but he can run the bases as well. Even Tony La Russa says that all the time, how great of a base runner Albert was. So it's a real tough one. I probably still lean a little bit towards Trout just because of all the other things he's been able to do and be able to say that I've seen all these things happen as compared to watching a lot of highlights with Albert. But being around Albert for the last 10 years, I've never been around a better human being in my life. He's a phenomenal person. What he does off the field goes unnoticed, which he wants it that way because he doesn't want to ever tell him, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. He just does it, and he's a phenomenal person. So I can't wait to see him get in there, and I'm hoping when the time comes when he's voted for the Hall of Fame, it's 100% unanimous decision because his numbers are unreal. I mean, doubles, home runs, RBI, all those things, and a world-class person and a world champion to boot.
Speaking of Albert, there's a chance that this is his final year. What's it like to be following and covering a player like that who does have a chance to be 100% voted into the Hall of Fame here in 5 years?
Well, the thing is, he's been unreal in spring training, too. And, you know, coming into camp, Jarrett Walsh was going to be the first baseman, and he still may not be getting most of the games at first base. He's a young player who's got great hands at first base, but Albert Pujols is, you know, he looks great. He's happy. He's relaxed. You know, they were saying 300 bats. I'd be shocked if he doesn't get 450 at bats right now the way he's swinging the bat. He's crushing the ball. He's being really solid defensively at first base. And I think he just realizes all this year about him now is cause he's done everything. I mean, he's real close to 700 career home runs as well as that 700 career doubles. And he's in the top five all time in doubles and home runs, and there's no one else in the history of the game can say that. So he just wants to win, and he has such a relaxed mentality about him right now that I think he's going to have a really, really good season. And if for the Angels to get to the postseason, he's going to be every bit as important as Mike Trout or Shohei Ohtani.
So we're celebrating opening day. You started one opening day for the Royals back in 1989. What's it like to start on such a special day on the baseball calendar?
I still firmly believe, and whether everyone else agrees with me or not, I think it should be a national holiday opening day in baseball because there's something about that more than, and I, you know, I'm a huge sports fan of everything from football, basketball, and hockey, soccer, everything, but there's something about opening day in baseball there's nothing like it in sports. And to get that opportunity to be on the mound at home like I was on opening day and at that point Royal Stadium, now Kauffman Stadium, just an unreal thrill because just the feeling that everybody, they battle through the cold of winter And here you are at the start of, you know, this rejuvenation. You're it's spring. It's getting warmer. Everyone's excited about an upcoming baseball season. There really is nothing like opening day, especially when you get a chance to be an opening day pitcher, because you started all that. Very first pitch you throw starts the season for your club and the fans.
I got to ask you a Bo Jackson question before you get out of here. You played with a lot of great players, but is there any former teammate that you have that you get asked more about than Bo Jackson?
No, I mean, you know, from the 30 on 30 for that ESPN special it was on to, there's been about four or five different books written about Bo, and it's a shame that he didn't play longer, or if he played in this era where we have social media, which is such a big force, that people would understand how ridiculously phenomenal he was. I mean, to do what he did in baseball, to do what he did in football, and to do it at the same, you know, calendar year and never miss a beat, and have all, you know, we were together in the All-Star game in 89, and every single player, and we're talking about so many guys that are in the Hall of Fame right now, were just in awe of him. And I'm sitting there just laughing because, you know, he's my teammate. We're just having fun. We flew back after the game to, you know, New York to take on the Yankees, and the pilots are coming out of the cockpits and asking for his autograph. We're walking through the airport. I'm thinking I'm walking with Mick Jagger or Brad Pitt because everyone's running up to him. It was that insane. But and then going to a football game because he gave me sideline passes every game for the Raiders, and all the football players were like, this guy's unbelievable. And he wasn't even in, you know, their two-a-days at the beginning of the year, which, you know, made them, you would think, would make them mad because he missed the tough part of the season. And he actually, you know, moves Marcus Allen, a Hall of Famer, to the bench. He was that good. And, you know, just the throw from the outfield in Seattle, getting Harold Reynolds at the plate to, you know, scaling the wall to hitting the longest home run I think I've ever seen at Royal Stadium before they put, you know, the Jumbotron over there in left center field and the waterfalls and the seats there, that thing almost left the entire stadium. The wow factor with him was nothing like anybody else in sports. And it's a shame, like I said, it was a short career, but it would have been way better if it would have been during this era where we would be able to see that on Twitter or TikTok, anything you can imagine, Instagram. He would have been on there every single second.
That is Mark Gubazaw. He pitched for the Royals from 1984 to 1996. He's a two-time All-Star, won a World Series with the club in 1985. He also was in the Royals Hall of Fame. Gooby, appreciate you coming on today, man. Thank you.
Guys, I really appreciate it. I love talking to my friends back home in Kansas City.